My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Atlanta! Monday Night Football. It is a must-win for our Falcons. You heard me. It's Dukes and Bell. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Monday, everybody. We got a lot to chop up, and we got a short period of time to do it. Now, we'll be back for 5 hours the rest of the week. We'll be up at Flowery Branch, hopefully talking to Coach about a win. We'll have a player guest on Wednesday, and we'll slide into next week. But it all starts tonight because, Mike, as you look around our division, the Saints right now look like they're legit. Now, I don't know if they are. I don't know if this is just the start of the season. Sometimes magic happens. They look really good. Tampa Bay is also 2-0. And here we are with this daunting schedule in front of us. And, Mike, after seeing those teams play yesterday, you say to yourself, self, what are the Falcons going to do tonight? Here's what they absolutely have to do, Mike. They have to attack on offense. This team offensively was inept against the Steelers. You could say it was T.J. Watt and the Steeler defense, or you could say we didn't execute. I'm going to say it's a little bit of both. But the execution has to be a lot better tonight. And Mike Bell, they've got to show us something. Give us something.
Yeah, man. Look, we know that it's one less piece we got to worry about with A.J. Brown banged up for the Eagles, but Saquon Barkley's been a wrecking crew so far. We know that they've got a lot of skills set that we got to worry about. We know they got a bunch of Georgia Bulldogs who haven't always been tearing up the world if we're honest on defense. Not like we're going up against the 86 Bears.
True.
But let's go get it, man. But more importantly, what is our identity going to be on offense? Do we have one? And whatever we have to do, I know that we spent all week talking about what we thought we were going to see and what we got against the Steelers. Is that going to be the same against the Eagles? Because I have a hard time believing that's going to be effective.
All right, number one, we got to stop the run, right? That's Saquon Barkley, guys. You got to limit him. Again, when I say stop, they're going to attempt to run the ball because it's what the Eagles do, but you've got to limit him. You can't allow him to control the game. And, Mike, we got to get Hurts to throw it to us tonight. He will throw it to you guys, meaning he will turn the ball over. He will give us interception opportunities. We have to do that. We got to create some turnovers. And more importantly, this passing attack has to look a ton better than what it did in week one. How does that start, Mike? You asked Andy before he just left, what's the offense look like? Is this more on Cousins or is it more on Zach Robinson?
Yeah, to me, it's a combination of, and you were off, as you know, we'll talk about your visit to Kentucky. Look at you having a blast up there. But the conversation we had with the Raheem Morris, he was not really going to give you much. We tried. We kind of nuanced the questions. Is Cousins hurt? If he's not, no. They said they went back, and Zach Robinson spoke with the media on Thursday and said the same thing. That no, they've been going with this idea all the way back to the spring. It's a bad idea. You need to really reevaluate this because nobody thought Kirk Cousins was going to be in the shotgun or the pistol. He makes his bones in play action. So maybe we're going to have to wait a few weeks till he's 100% with his Achilles to do that, and this is all a smokescreen. Maybe we have to take our lumps. But we're seeing, Carl, some teams, the first week wasn't a real indication of what they are. Other teams, now, I don't know, if you're the Ravens, I don't know what the hell's going on there. But there's a lot of teams out there that are still looking for their identity. I think we're one of those teams.
I agree with that. 404-726-0929. It sometimes takes a couple of weeks. Sometimes it takes half a season. You just don't know. But in that process, you can't continue to lose games. You can find yourself within the process of winning games. And I think that's what we're going to have to do. The Eagles, guys, everybody expect them to be a Super Bowl contender. The roster they put together, they paid their quarterback, all the things we talk about. And then they go and add Saquon Barkley to that already explosive offense with A.J. Brown and company. We got to cover tonight. This is going to be a tough task. And by the way, I know the Eagles are favored by like 5.5 points or whatever it is, Mike. On the road, we talk about it all the time. One of the toughest places to play in the NFL. But we got to step up to the challenge. And the reason why I said this is a must win is because, again, you're staring Kansas City in the face. And they keep finding ways to win. Whether you thought it was the refs, and I did, or you just thought, hey, they played a better game than the Bengals, and I didn't. They're 2-0. They're coming in here on Sunday next week. Mike, then you say, well, okay, fine. The Saints didn't come into town, and they look like gangbusters.
Yeah, that's the weird thing now because, you know, Baker Mayfield looks like Brett frickin' Favre down in Tampa Bay. And, like, you know, the Lions coach kind of, and he owned it, too. Dan Campbell was exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer with his strategy at the end. But the Saints, and I was talking to my buddy Brian down there. I go, what's the secret sauce? What the hell's going on down there? I mean, the Cowboys just, they went in there and kicked the Cowboys' butts. No two ways about it.
They did. Physically, mentally, every which way you could imagine. Kamara looks like himself. I mean, he's back. I mean, all the things that you weren't hoping for if you're a Falcon fan look like they're working. And the main reason why, and I'll say this, and we'll talk, you know, weeks from now about it when they come to town. Clint Kubiak, I'm telling you, that the way he's calling plays, Mike, and the way he has Carr locked in, they are playing some really good football. But we have to play well tonight. Want to know what you guys think? What do you need to see? 404-726-0929. Hit us up. Follow us. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put Him Up. See Dukes. And follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station and stay up on everything that's going on, man. We will have, of course, the game tonight. We are your home for the NFL. Pre-game's at 6, but it all starts with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show right at 4 o'clock, guys, as John Fricke and Joe Patrick will have that for you. That's why Mike and I are done tonight. So we're trying to fit in a lot of stuff, but we'll get into it as the week goes on. Here's the deal. So we'll talk plenty about the Falcons here over the next couple of hours, but the Georgia Bulldogs look like hot garbage. Over the weekend. And it pains me to say this only because this was a game that everybody anticipated, Mike, they'd win by 3 touchdowns or more. And I said this to Randy earlier. Randy and I were talking about this, and I was at the game. Pre-game, they didn't look like they were locked in. I'm just telling you. Guys were clowning around. You could just see it was one of those things like, it's about to be an easy win. The game starts, and they get punched in the face by both the offensive and defensive lines of Kentucky, and they struggled the entire game. Here's my concern, though, with Georgia, Mike, and this goes beyond the Kentucky game. You won it. You found a way to win it. My concern is Carson Beck special? You can tell me all you want about the guy that won 2 back-to-back national championships and Stetson Bennett, but in those big moments, Mike, when he needed to make plays, he was special. There was nothing special about Carson Beck on Saturday. I'm telling you firsthand. Kentucky fans are like, he ain't that good. I'm like, well, I'm kind of agreeing with you right now. Mike, who's the explosive guy? Where's the wide receiver to take the game over for the Georgia Bulldogs? I'm watching this game, and I'm like, okay, I keep hearing about all these guys. Where are they, Mike Bell?
Well, a couple of things, and we'll talk to Connor Riley about it at 3:20 today, an early edition of Dog Report. Was it the offensive line with the injuries when they had to reshuffle? Is that part of it? We all know that Kentucky plays physical. Look, I bet Georgia, I thought after what they did against South Carolina, Kentucky, there's no way. You know, you could have the coaching staff just basically challenge your manhood, which is apparently what Stoops and his guys did all weekend. in Lexington, and it worked. But this was an old school SEC street fight, and Kirby talked about it. He was happy that Georgia just hung in there. But you're right. If you can't lay this on the first half in Tuscaloosa and expect to get a win. No way, no how. So you're right. Carson Beck, the receivers, the skill position guys, where's the rock stars? You know, where was the ETN moment where he's going to take over the game?
Exactly. And they held him in check. I mean, Dominic Lovett was their leading wide receiver. I mean, Dylan Bell, Kobe Young, where are all these guys that we've been talking about that you go, throw me the ball? You know where that guy is? In the NFL. Two of those guys that played on this team last year are now in the NFL. One of them named Brock Bowers. I am fearful that that is the issue with the Dogs. It's not that they won't fix what happened on up front, Mike. It's not that they won't be able to run the ball. But in those moments in college football, and we've seen it here in Georgia over the last few years, when you need to make a play, is your quarterback capable? He's fumbling the ball. Mm-hmm. He's holding it too long Saturday. I'm like, this you're not even seeing the better defenses you're about to see in this conference.
No, just 262 total yards, as we said. I know you don't want to get into comparable scores, but the South Carolina game, Kentucky couldn't have looked any worse. I thought Georgia's offensive line, you know, Georgia's defensive line was going to take Eric Kentucky's offensive line. But to be on the other side and say, well, wait a minute, does Tate Ratledge injury really, did that shake things up so much for the rotation on offensive line when he came out?
He got hurt, yeah.
And then they had to put up, the newer guys are rotating in. You're supposed to have the great depth of Georgia. Kirby talked about it, said they were really beat up in the game in that position, and it continues to be a concern for the offensive line, especially a week off and then going to Alabama.
No doubt. It's a big week. And by the way, Brock Vandergrift, for whatever he didn't do, he wasn't great either, but the fact is, Mike, he had all day. He had all day to throw the football.
I just thought Georgia was going to just mollywop them and just take it over. That one was a confusing one for me. There's a bunch. We'll get into it. There's some really crazy storylines from college football. But, like, at the end of the day, if Georgia goes on to win a national championship, you know, yeah, there was a grind-out game in Kentucky. They've had a bunch of those in their history. But still, it's not exactly what you expect. And, you know, if you care about these things, Texas leapfrogs Georgia to be number one right now.
Yeah, I just seen more dynamic quarterbacks in the last 3 weeks than Carson Beck. Even in week one, he admitted it. You guys remember what he said? I was a little nervous in the first half. Right? He had to settle down. What's going on? Is he the guy that we think he is? Heisman? Mike, Heisman?
No, Heisman can't put that on tape.
Come on now. I mean, this is, and I know most Georgia fans are like, we don't care. We just want to win another chip. That's great. All I'm saying is, the dynamic quarterback play that we've been waiting to see, has he put four of those quarters together for you where you went, woo,
right,
man, did you see Beck?
And that wasn't there. And it just look, and it, this wasn't, you know, late in the year with ice or funky weather like there was 2 years ago in Kentucky. This was one where, look, I think Kentucky, they got humiliated by South Carolina.
They did.
And I think there was some degree of human nature in there where the kids basically were challenged all week and said, we're not, you know, you can't do this against Georgia. And they didn't. They played physical. This is what you expect Kentucky to be like under Mark Stoops. So now, which one is the real Kentucky? What you saw this week or what you saw last week?
Somewhere in between. I mean, here's the problem. They still have problems scoring. I mean, Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown. Here's the positive, right? For Dog fans, it's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Monday Night Football coming your way. Falcons in Philly tonight. Pre-game at 6. Wade Ford tailgate show starts at 4 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. The good news is they still have not given up a touchdown this season. From the first game, all right, Clemson, listen, they looked outclassed, to the second game where you knew they were going to mollywop whoever they played, to this game, that is the positive. You say, okay, well, the defense is still playing stout, but you don't win championships in college football now without a dynamic offense. You guys know it. You've seen it. The reason why the Dogs won a couple of years ago is because they're scoring 45 or more every damn game. I think that is something that I'm concerned about as this moves forward. Mike, and you said it, whether it's Texas or Alabama, I watched the Jalen Milroe game, and we were in a big bar, a big party up there in Kentucky. We're watching that game. And after their quarterback went down, Milroe just took it over. Like, they just beat the hell out of him.
And I tell you what, I mean, Tyler Van Dyke, you know, everybody gets their quarterbacks in the portal now, and some, like DJU, are just not good. And Van Dyke, you know, he gets injured, gets taken out. Alabama, that's a big win up there at Camp Randall. I mean, they dropped the hammer in the second half. They got to be feeling pretty good compared to, you know, again, what Georgia just did against Kentucky. And then, you know, LSU, that was one of the best games of the weekend. LSU against South Carolina. They missed the field goal at the end that would have tied it. But LSU was dead in the water, and they battled back. I know Kelly's been talking about the culture there and trying to establish it. Some great games over the weekend.
All right, we're coming back. The latest news around the NFL. Things happen on Mondays, which is why you don't ever want to miss this show, including a number one overall pick just got benched. We'll talk about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, great. You said it. Clint Kubiak, son of Gary, breathing life into that offense. Looks like it's a completely new offense, doesn't it?
It does. And the thing is, he's getting everybody incorporated. I mean, like, there's not one go-to guy. Obviously, you know, what you just heard there with the highlight, and I'm resentful because it's the Saints. But He's playing great. I mean, the kid, we saw this a few years ago. And by the way, what's the multifaceted tool guy with it? What's his name? Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He's returning kicks. He's doing everything.
Still doing stuff.
That's in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
We got to focus on the Eagles.
You look around the league. Like I said to Carl earlier, I mean, look at the Ravens. They lost to the freaking Raiders. Raiders came east and beat them. and the Ravens looked like they've got to be going, what the heck just happened here? The Rams are 0-2, and they've got injuries up the yin-yang now. Cooper Kupp's banged up. You know, obviously, Nakua's out for a while. So there's a lot of teams that are dealing with some stuff. But first things first, there's no moral victory tonight. If we hang with the Eagles, we lose 31-24, and we score a couple of touchdowns. I mean, guys, we always knew we had this first quarter of the season was going to be a bear. I just hate the fact that so many people jump off the bandwagon. I mean, everybody I've seen on social media the last 24 hours is going, well, can we just let the game play out? And hopefully Zach Robinson doesn't do stupid stuff like he did in the first game. But I am very concerned about what we're going to look like offensively.
I agree with you. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. It's Dukes and Bell. Mike, I totally agree when you say, again, for me, it's always about how you lose, right? The victory for Georgia felt like a loss because it just didn't feel like that's the way things should have played out. And they played poorly. Sometimes it's how you lose. If we were in this game, and I always say this, and God forbid we lose by a field goal as the clock runs out, right, like this Kansas City yesterday, and we played well enough to win, okay. It gives you something to build on. But I'm not going up there to get beat up and then feel good about myself tomorrow and say, oh, well, we only lost by 15 or 20 or whatever it's going to be. We got to show up tonight. The Eagles offensively, guys, they found a way to get it going against Green Bay, and obviously late in that game, we know what happened to Jordan Love, but if you remember watching that game in Brazil, it's sort of like, okay, they struggled at the beginning. And if they come out tonight, I don't know what we can expect. Mike, we got to take advantage of that. We got pressure against the Steelers. We got sacks against the Steelers. There's no reason that the defense can't live up to it and play as well as they did in week one for us. But the offense is the big question mark. And more importantly, Drake London and Kyle Pitts, okay? I'm seeing, Mike, receivers around the league. If you guys play fantasy football, you know this. You're watching these other guys around the league, and you're going, dude, these guys, these stars on these other teams are putting up numbers. It is time for our guys to shine.
Right. I mean, it's time to look like the superstars they were supposed to be when they were drafted. I mean, it's funny. We mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. the first week.
Nothing.
Kyler Murray's like, not my job to give the rock. Well, it kind of is. Well, they did. I mean, he had all the scores and all the action in the first quarter, it seemed like, in that win for Arizona over the Rams. But you're right. You've seen all these guys making some big, big numbers. Nico Collins continues to be a fantasy stud.
Yep.
Down there for the Texans, I should say. Malik Nabers, even though the Giants suck, he's putting up good numbers. But yeah, we need to see these guys be those national brands that they were supposed to be when they were drafted top 10.
All right. We do need to mention this because it affects us because it's in our division, but the facts are simple. He's not been good. And Carolina today decides to bench the number one overall pick in Bryce Young. He is being benched for who?
The Red Rifle, Andy Dalton. Yeah, Andy Dalton's over there in Carolina. So, look, they brought Canales in from Tampa.
Yep.
And he was supposed to be able to fix Bryce. I mean, talk about hitting the chicken switch. I mean, 2 weeks in and you're saying that's it? So, a lot of folks have said it just looks that awful. I know that we've heard some comments. Who is it? It was last week. It was Stink. It was Mark Schlereth was talking on Andy Randy about he didn't know who was worse, whether it was Deshaun Watson or Bryce Young. Are these guys actually right-handed? But in this case, yeah, maybe he gets a chance to watch and learn. I don't think you learn anything from watching Andy Dalton at this stage of his career, but he's out in Carolina for now.
Yeah, I don't know if Mike, this is buyer's remorse. Okay, because C.J. Stroud again. Looks the part last night. Texans win. Mm-hmm. Caleb struggled, but Caleb's going to. This is his rookie season.
Rookie, right.
You expect this year, in the second year, for Bryce Young to take a step forward. 2 weeks, people are like, is that enough? Yes, it should be. When you had a full offseason with the new head coach, who is an offensive-minded guy and supposed to be, as Mike said, the quarterback whisperer. I think, Mike, this is a little bit of buyer's remorse, and this is also realizing he's not that good. He can't make the throws that we need him to make. Mike, his first throw this season was an interception. Yesterday, okay, they get beat by the Chargers. And by the way, if you hadn't watched the Chargers, it's typical Harbaugh. They're running the football. I mean, Herbert's hardly even threw the ball. I think he's throwing like 40 times in two games.
You know who they rediscovered? He got injured and he kind of got lost in the shuffle of the ball. J.K. Dobbins.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins for the Chargers has been a one-man gang.
I just feel like they weren't doing anything dynamic. If your quarterback's halfway decent, you could have maybe been in that game yesterday. 26-3 loss. And Mike, I mean, bottom line, he had.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh.
I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
it
taken care
forever,
of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
84 yards in 25 passing attempts. That's Bryce Young. 84 yards?
See, I thought the comp for this guy was, if you get the right offensive line, it's Drew Brees. Because, you know, he's not the most mobile quarterback, but he was sublimely accurate at Alabama. That's what they all talked about in the combine. This guy is, you know, you can't coach that accuracy that Tarkenton used to say to us. He's been terrible. And he can't see over the line. He literally can't see over the line.
2-16 as a starter, so that news only affects us because they're in our division. Again, I don't think that's a good team. But to pinch your number one overall quarterback a year and, you know, a couple of games in is just like,
wow.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a big deal. Meanwhile, guys, as we talk about what else is going on, Mike, we got to mention the Braves here in the headlines. We're going to talk plenty more about the Falcons when we come back next segment and get into a couple of things tonight that we expect to see. But Braves take two or three from the Dodgers. They'll try to win another one tonight. They remain tied in the wild card with the Mets. Guys, this is what it's going to be for the next 2 weeks. Mike, up, down, One step forward, maybe a step back. This is what it's going to come down to the wire.
Another game with the Dodgers in this last one that you'll see with these guys. And is Max Fried on the bump? We've all been waiting to see, you know, can Max Fried, you know, look like the Max Fried of old? We've been asking that all season, haven't we, at times?
We have.
But Yamamoto is going to go for the Dodgers tonight, but you're taking, so far, 2 out of 3. Philly's been beating up on the Mets. So the good news is you're still dead even in the final spot for the wild card. But, you know, you score 10 runs against the Dodgers? That shows, okay, if you can do that. And I know the Dodgers pitching's been its own MASH unit this year. But that does give you some degree of help, a hope, I should say, if you could go up against Milwaukee. And that's what you would be doing as a wild card.
Yeah, 6-2 on Friday, 10-1, which is the runs that Mike's talking about on Saturday. And then they lose on Sunday Night Baseball last night, 9-2. We'll see what happens today as they conclude this series. But bottom line.
And it was by the way, Raziel has been so good. Iglesias was just awful last night.
And you know what? I'm not going to say he was due, but Mike, to your point, he's been so money that you just kind of figure, all right, he's going to have one setback.
You know, that's back-to-back-to-back home runs twice in a week for the Dodgers, by the way.
Crazy. 404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell. Guys, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We're talking about all the things that happened yesterday in around the NFL as we get ready for Monday Night Football. The other big thing, outside of, obviously, Jets getting their win, we'll talk more about that as well. The Kansas City-Cincinnati game, Mike, was so damn good. It was one of the best, if not the best, games of the weekend. I mean, it comes down to a last-second field goal. Now, you mentioned the 0-2 team. Cincinnati's 0-2. Here's Joe Burrow again, starting off badly, you know, and every year they have to find a way to make it to the playoffs. Last year he got hurt. But that Kansas City game, man, I'm watching and I'm going, is this a preview of the AFC Championship game?
It could be. I mean, you know, once you get all your weapons together for the Bengals, I always felt that, you know, when you have a Hail Mary, you're going to allow contact. But when you're in the middle of the field, I don't think you can jump the receivers back. And I still think, I know it's, if it was your team, you would say, look, you know, oh man, come on, you got to call that. And they did. So it's a Dijon Anthony is the safety that comes over the top of Rashee Rice. To me, it's contact. It's before the ball's there. If you know, they don't call that on Hail Marys. And people say, well, it's fourth and long. No, it's not a Hail Mary. It's a pass pattern. He's in the middle of the field. He jumped him. They're going to call that. Yeah, it's at home. It's the Chiefs. But if the Bengals are crying about that, I'm sorry. It just, the ref did the right thing, I thought. But a lot of folks felt that it was ticky-tack.
Yeah, I here's my thing on it. First of all, Patrick Mahomes garners that respect. You've got to understand that. Guys, whether you don't think it's a big deal or not, it's sort of like Jordan in his heyday when Mike would look at the ref and be like, you're not going to call that? And he gets the call the next time down the floor. There was no way in hell in Kansas City they were not going to call that. So first, let's put that in context. Secondly, to Mike's point, judgment call, ref, was the flag late? I felt like it was. Then you watch another side of the replay.
The Chiefs sideline was working the ref.
Absolutely. And you see the ref like, think about it. And then, oh, I better throw it. And then he throws it. It could have gone either way, but at the end of the day, I thought the mistakes for the Bengals killed them. Mike, they had a scoop and score for the Chiefs, you know, in the fourth quarter of that game that was just brutal at the start of the fourth quarter. You cannot make those kind of mistakes at home, but it was a great game. Chiefs win 26-25. I'm just telling you, the Bengals, they're a good team, and they're not even completely healthy, to Mike's point. No T. Higgins. They got some other pieces that are going to come back.
Right.
I will not be surprised if they're in the playoffs, and we fast forward, guys, that could easily be the AFC Championship
Everybody
game.
Knows you go 0-2, and then the odds start to get longer and longer. 0-3, obviously. Then wait, now you're probably not going to go to the playoffs. But the Cowboys, 0-2, the year that Emmitt Smith had the holdout, and that team was loaded. Bengals are one of those teams. The Ravens are not going to not make the playoffs going 0-2. The problem is here in Atlanta, if we start 0-2 with a pedigree of 6 years of not making the playoffs, half the fan base is going to freak out and say it's over.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, it's not, but we've got to have some things that trend in the right way. Cousins has got to look like Cousins. This offense you talked about, the skill position guys have got to be able to get down the field. The vertical passing game that was non-existent against the Steelers. We got to see that tonight on national TV.
That's right, man. I mean, there has to be some urgency on offense, which I didn't think there was against the Steelers. It was almost kind of like, okay, we're coming out of camp and set. Hold on, I'm going to snap it into my motion guy. It's got to be a little bit more urgency. If there isn't, then I'm going to have a problem coming the rest of the week with Zach Robinson. And, Mike, here's the other thing. All these proteges that we're talking about from other coaching trees, and Zach's one of those guys, I'm talking about Clint Kubiak. You know where he comes from, right? His dad, and then he worked for who? Kyle Shanahan. All these guys are having success offensively. Zach, got to show us something.
Yeah, look, and this is the thing where we get guys that come back. It's funny because you were off on Thursday, Friday, guys in the text line, you told us. I know what we told you. We saw it at camp, okay? We figure Zach Robinson is going to take the best of what worked with the Rams and use that here, not come up with some half-ass pistol and shotgun stuff for a guy who doesn't play it. okay? That's no way, no how do we expect that to be this is going to be our offensive identity. So I do hope that despite everything that was being said at Falcons behind closed doors, they're realizing this is not the way to do it.
We're going to find out. And you can listen right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to get into something that I think tonight we're going to learn a lot more about a particular side of the football. All right? And it's not what you think. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Dogs win barely, but they did win. Mike mentioned it. The new AP rankings are out. Texas is number one. Arch Manning looked like the next coming.
Man, he looked pretty amazing. No, I know it was UTSA.
Correct.
But that's University of Texas, San Antonio. But, yeah, he did do all the things you're supposed to do in that game, man. Looked great.
But for the Dogs, and we're going to talk to Connor Riley about this. He's going to join us on this shortened edition of Dukes and Bell. I know you want the full five. I get it. So do we. But sometimes we have to step aside for the things that are going on. And tonight it's Monday Night Football. But Connor's going to join us coming up here at about, what, 3:20? Is that right?
Yeah.
3:20. So we'll ask him all the questions about the Dogs. I do have real concerns. Listen, and this is not, again, not saying they can't achieve their goals. As Kirby said, you know, you're going to have ups and downs through the season. Guys, last year they had a test at Auburn. Similar deal. They go on the road, they're clowning around, and you're like, are they going to be able to win this game? My issue is, who steps up and starts taking games over? Who is the guy where you go, we need a play? And they didn't show that at Kentucky. They just didn't. So we'll talk to Connor about that. Mike, as far as the defense is concerned tonight, guy asked me, are you sold about the defense, meaning what you saw in week one? Do you feel better overall? I know you guys had Matthew Judon on.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this defense going into this Monday night matchup?
He's an impressive guy, too, by the way. Now, we'd love to see A.J. Terrell go get a pick. You know, we talked about Jalen Hurts' propensity for coughing the ball up. We talked about it with everybody from Philly this week. And they'd agree with you. He can do that. So let's get after it. Let's create some turnovers, man. I know that guys are looking at the Steelers and saying, well, the Steelers, they're just playing so vanilla with Justin Fields, and they barely eked out a win over Denver. Still, they're 2-0. But I get it. We still held a team to field goals. You hold a team to field goals in the NFL, you're supposed to friggin' win.
That's right.
Going on the road, we got to get pressure on Hurts. And then, you know, how are you going to approach Saquon Barkley? How do the linebackers neutralize him? Got to assume he's going to eat some tonight. That's just part of it. But don't let him kill you. What's your attitude towards that?
Well,
how you play them?
I actually want to have them press the issue. I'm hoping that Jimmy Lake starts this game not just bringing pressure, Mike, but also stacking the box. Let Hurts beat you with his arm.
I'm down with that. No problem there.
Because if he can do it, Mike, and if he does it, right, great. But, guys, a lot of their stuff, again, is play action. And when Saquon, who had three touchdowns in that Packer game, one of 18 yards, one of 11 yards, one of 2 yards, now I'm focused on Saquon. And guess what? A.J. Brown, there he goes. Devontae, there he goes. So, Mike, I want to stop the run, and I kind of want to force Jalen to feel like he's got to do some extra stuff. And well, when he does that, you know what happens.
Right. Now, Devontae Smith still have to worry about. A.J. Brown, as you mentioned, is out tonight. Johnny Wilson, the Florida State Seminole, he's questionable. So they do have a bunch of guys that are banged up. Jahan Dotson gets the start at wide receiver for the Eagles tonight.
They traded for him from Washington over A.J., who's out, to your point. I just feel like that's what I want to do if I'm going into this game. The guy I'm not going to allow to beat us, okay, just like what they're saying about us. You know what they're saying about us? We're not going to let Bijan beat us. That's what they're saying about us. Like, we're not going to let him get off.
They're going to say, let Cousins try to throw.
Correct.
Cousins couldn't deliver the football. He couldn't step into his throws. He threw two terrible picks. I mean, if I'm looking at Philadelphia, if I'm the Eagles, I'm saying Cousins is a statue. The Falcons are saying one thing, doing another, because they're trying to basically conceal the fact this guy's not 100% from his Achilles. That's what the whole country is saying. But they're just not saying that behind a microphone at Flowery Branch.
Well, I think you stop the run, right? And it limits us, just like I want to try to limit them. Their quarterback, though, is mobile, and we know that he can make plays with his legs. But I would prefer, if you're going to tell me, if I had to lose tonight, right, and I don't expect that, how do I want it to happen? I want it to happen with Hurts scrambling around trying to make plays versus handing the ball off to Saquon, Mike, and he's popping off 5-6 yards a pop.
Right.
That's a problem. Now we got a lot more to worry about. So as we look at this defense, if they are what we thought they were in week one and they come back and play as well, we're going to be in this game. We're going to be in it.
Now, don't forget, Dallas Goedert's always kind of a go-to for Hurts.
He is.
You know, he's the tight end, so watch out for him there as well. But, yeah, we did not get anything. I know we're still kind of – I know it's been a week, but we're still kind of going back to what the hell was that on offense? I'm curious to see if we are going to see some of that play action. Are we going to see Kirk Cousins under center? Or are we going to continue this pistol thing? Because I think if you're the Eagles and you're feeling that that's what the Falcons are doing, you're just going to go after Kirk Cousins. You're going to go after Kirk Cousins. You're going to, you know, you're going to tee off on him. You said it earlier. I mean, we're going to try to run the football right at him. Georgia Bulldogs, for all the guys they've added that Howie Roseman loves, you know, Jalen Carter's probably got the most upside of all of them right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not like, you know, they're a good defense, but it's not like they're the world beaters. I think some people make them out to
be. No. I totally agree. And Jordan Love showed you can throw the ball on these guys. Like, you can. The secondary, it can be suspect. Remember, they're young. They drafted two corners in the draft. Now, they're seeing time. But the fact is, that's, to me, their weak spot, Mike. But I want to see how they're going to attack this Eagles defense. And that is why I'm saying, defensively, we can't be so focused on the offense that the defense lets us down tonight. That's where I'm going. It can't be, hey, all this pressure's on Cousins, and it is, to show us that he's fine and this offense, and they can move the football and get in the end zone, and then the defense lets us down. We need a similar performance, Mike, in what we got in week one, and if we don't get that, then that's going to be a problem. Because, by the way, if this is whatever this is this offense built to catch up? Is this offense built to go get 21?
That's the thing. Because we're going to in the pistol on the shotgun, we're going to make the big comeback with Kirk Cousins coming off that Achilles. This is where, you know, like Aaron Rodgers, the Jets won against Tennessee. Aaron Rodgers doesn't look great. Do you think Aaron Rodgers looks great?
No. He had a couple of throws, but it's not what I expected to see from Aaron Rodgers. Right. Yeah, I agree with you.
So, and I'm not saying he looks bad, but he doesn't look like into the old Aaron Rodgers yet. And so, and then Kirk Cousins, as you guys know, had the injury 8 weeks later into the year. So I mean, it's a scary proposition. The game you really wanted to win was the Steelers. This was a game when you and I were looking at the schedule. And I know it's academic sometimes and a moot point to go, well, that's a win, that's a loss. Because sometimes, look at this NFL season. We've seen guys look like absolute dog crap in week one and bounce right back. But it's just, this was one that I think most Falcon fans in their mind's eye said, this was always going to be a tough one. Tonight was always going to be the toughest of these games. Chiefs at home. You know, hey, I'll take a puncher's chance. We're going to talk about Pacheco's injury coming up in the Blitz. They don't have the full complement when we see them next week.
No. 404-726-0929. Again, this hour brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season. It's Dukes and Bell. We are done at 4 for the Wade Ford Tailgate Show as we amp up our Falcons coverage, guys. The game tonight right here. Kickoff's at 8:15. Pitts did have a 12-yard touchdown in week one. But he had three balls for 26 yards. That ain't enough.
Drake London had three targets total.
That ain't enough. I need the stars to shine tonight. And if you're going to go on the road, Mike, and let's be honest, and beat this Philadelphia team, that's what's got to happen. For all the conversation we've had about Darnell Mooney, what's up, Darnell? I need the stars to shine tonight. And if that doesn't happen, and you'll know, guys, we'll be watching this. We'll be on social media. You guys will know. If we get to halftime and we look lackluster, Mike, then we have probably some issues that we've really got to address.
Yeah, I know that, you know, the whole concept, that's the thing, that everything we sold, we didn't sell you, we believed it. And yeah, to a degree.
What they showed us.
I mean, we're not paid to be hype men for the Falcons. I thought it was going to be Kirk Cousins, under center, play action, fakes it to Bijan. It's Pitts streaking down the seam, you know, or Drake London. Or to your point, Darnell Mooney streaking for the over-the-top play using that speed element. And hopefully we're going to see that over the course of the season. The problem is the Falcons have got 6 years of really bad recent history against them to try to win over some of the fans.
Yeah.
You've already got fans right now crossing their arms going, I don't see. Can we let the game play out? Then all the things Carl and I are talking about, if this doesn't happen, and if Zach Robinson stays with his stubborn, stupid gameplay, which made no sense in game one, then we're going to have a new conversation with Coach Ra on Wednesday.
Yeah, because if there are no limitations physically, then it should open up the entire playbook. And this is the issue. You only open the playbook up when you don't have any limitations. And when you do, you dial it back so that you don't harm your team. But you're still hoping that you're successful execution-wise. We didn't do that last week. So that's the big question for me. Does he open up this playbook a little bit more, Mike, and say, hey, we really are physically okay. I was just being a little conservative last week, a little bit more on me. Fine, I won't do that this week.
And then Kirk Cousins, you know, we got into this. Coach said it was rust. Cousins goes on Rich Eisen. Nah, it wasn't really rust. Bijan said it was rust. So is it rust or what is it? So now in Philadelphia, on the road, if ever there was a way to kind of just completely flip this script on us. Cowboys look like world beaters against the Browns in week one. Go home against the Saints and get
slapped.
Their butts kicked.
Yeah. What are your expectations for Cousins tonight? He has to throw for what, 250 or more, right? 250?
250. 250.
At least.
Yeah. I mean.
No turnovers. Thank you, O.
But you know, it's funny. You know, it's a lot of there's not a lot of quarterbacks throwing for 300 yards so far in this NFL season, you know. Some guys, the guys are throwing 300 aren't winning. So, you know, Baker last night, I mean, these guys are just getting it done.
Yep.
I don't care what he throws for. Yes, in a perfect world, 250 and two touchdowns. Keep it clean.
Keep it clean. That's the key for me. And some of these games, again, some of the winning quarterbacks, to your point, have not thrown for a lot of yards.
Baker, 12 and 19 for 185.
And they found a way to get it
done. And the biggest thing for Baker, he had those two big first down scrambles that to help win the game for him.
Totally agree. I mean, listen, a story we're not talking about, but maybe we will and we should, Sam Darnold, man. I mean, he looks amazing. Sam Darnold threw for 268 yesterday against the 49ers defense.
Right. And so, San Fran coming east, more to the Midwest, against Minnesota. And again, not having McCaffrey. And I think Purdy threw for 300 yards in that game, too, in the L.
He did, in the loss. All right, guys, want to hear from you. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll talk about what's going on with the Ravens and their 0-2 start, 0-2 start as well, as we'll get to an NFL blitz. As we mentioned, Connor Riley's on the way. We'll talk some college football because it was a huge college football weekend. But the Dogs get a week off. And, Mike, I don't know if this comes at a better time for them to get reacclimated, maybe fix some of the things that we saw.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
And by the way, I do think we'll see a different dog team against Alabama. Now, will it be good enough to win? I don't know. On the road in Tuscaloosa. But I do think, Mike, they fix a lot of the stuff we saw.
We'll talk to Connor Riley in about a half hour, and we'll ask him from Dog Nation if the Tate Ratledge injury and kind of having to shuffle guys on the offensive line, is that what took away some of the things that Bobo wanted to do that Carson Beck couldn't deliver? We'll get into that, because you're right, it was sluggish.
All right, guys, want to hear what your thoughts are. Coming up, we'll get to an NFL blitz. And some highlights. We'll hand out some game balls as no balls as well. We are shortened on time today, but we got a lot more to dive into. Where are you at tonight? What are you thinking? How do you feel right now? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com. Monday Night Football right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It's Dukes and Bell. Hey, man. It's your boys. We're back.
How was Lexington, man?
Amazing. Kentucky went up for the Kentucky Bourbon Festival, which is once a year. It was absolutely incredible. I got to say this, because this was kind of the cool thing for me, sitting at the game watching the dogs. I ended up sitting next to you, and I wrote their names down because I was like, well, yeah, whatever. Mm-hmm. So the irony to this is it was a big frat and sorority day there.
Right.
And there were darties, day parties, plenty of them. And my daughter is a part of one of those sororities. So she's like, yeah, y'all want to come? I'm like, no, we're good. So we drive into this street to drop her off, and it's nothing but like, these party houses.
Fraternity Row.
No. Right. This is party
Row.
These aren't Fraternity Row. That's a whole different area. Mm-hmm. These are just houses that these kids are partying in. Mike, people everywhere. It was like, I can't even move on the street. I'm like, where am I going? She's like, just turn left. I turn. I drop her off. I'm like, thank God. And, you know, got out of there alive. But she sends a picture and she says, hey, Dad, do you know who the griddle guy is? And I'm like, no. And she's like, he's got like 2 million followers on TikTok. I'm like, well, that's probably why I don't know.
Yeah, right.
So she's like, well, he's got like 450,000 followers on Facebook and Instagram and all these places. I'm like, well, who is he? So she sends this picture. Apparently one of these frats hired the griddle guy. Okay, his name is Daryl Posnick, I believe his real name is. But he goes by Cook with Daryl. And he's sitting next to us at the Kentucky game. And there's another guy named Matt Ramsey who has like 480,000 followers on Facebook. He is cooker of deliciousness. And they hired these guys. These are world-renowned cooks that I had no idea, barbecue guys. But these frats hired these guys to come in and cook for the kids. So they were there, and they're like, hey. And I'm like,
good guys to hang with.
But I get this picture. This is earlier in the day. And I'm like, nah, baby, I don't know who these guys are. And then we end up sitting next to them, and I'm talking to this guy, and I'm like, he's like, why are you here? And I'm like, oh, well, my daughter goes here, and we're here for the Kentucky, you know, Georgia game, blah, blah, blah. He's like, yeah, we were cooking for the kids today. And so he tells me his name. Long story short, these guys are incredible, but you can look them up. They cook. The Bacon Up guys are the guys that brought them to the game, and they were all sitting behind us. So they were all just there hanging out. But it was really cool to meet those guys. And Mike, you know, it's weird because it's like when he's like, so you do a show in Atlanta? I'm like, yeah, it's a pretty big show. And he's like, yeah, we're pretty big cookers. And you're like, yeah, right, whatever. And he's like, oh, you are. So it was pretty cool. But the Bourbon Trail and all that stuff was fun, man. We had a great time. I would suggest, and as the week goes on, I'll tell you more because we just don't have time today.
Sure.
Suggestions and things of that nature. But it was incredible. And they do a great job with that Bourbon Festival, man. People from all over the world come to Bardstown, which from just the vicinity has the most bourbon barrels of anywhere in the world. And so that's why they call it, Bourbon Town. Either way, good time, except the fact that the dogs didn't play well. Connor Riley's on the way right now. Let's get to an NFL Blitz. NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Centers. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. You talked about Baker Mayfield. Listen, we said we have to give credit to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who've won this division the last 2 years.
Right.
We can't overlook that, even though I like our team and what we've added. But all of a sudden now, Mike, and it's early, it looks like the Bucs and the Saints are not going anywhere anytime soon.
Now, we spent the first hour, we mentioned you got a new offensive coordinator that took over this year in New Orleans, and that's Clint Kubiak, Gary's son, and he's basically got this thing humming like a Swiss watch through the first two games. And then Tampa Bay, you know, Baker Mayfield, he looks great, and I think he's comfortable, and he's got nobody over his shoulder. He knows it's his job, and he's a leader on that squad. making the right decisions. Didn't have a pick, but he also scrambled and picked up some first downs. Godwin actually had a better day than Evans yesterday.
He did.
Dan Campbell mismanaged his strategy, nearly cries in the postgame press conference, apologizes to Lion fans. But, yeah, the Bucs are really good. That's why when Brandon Lang was on our station, you know, the handicapper, and said he was having a hard time getting the Falcons over 9 wins, I'm like, oh, he's nuts. I don't know. Maybe he knew something that, you know, that these other teams weren't going to go away just yet, because everyone felt the Bucs are pretty much the same squad running it back. Well, it looks pretty darn good.
Campbell, coaching mistake. For those who didn't watch his game, it was a 10-second runoff at the end of the half. They should have at least kicked the field goal, but they probably should have scored a touchdown. It's 3rd and 2 at the Bucs' 9-yard line. They should have punched it in. Totally different game. He blew it. They don't get anything out of it, and that's the point Mike's making about the end of the game. They had too many men on the field. Runoff, half. And you're going, wait a minute, we're right there, and we don't get anything from it. Huge coaching mistake.
Also, real quick, because you were off up there in Kentucky doing your thing, the Tua thing. Tua's the word out of South Florida is Tua does not plan to retire. Is he going to be one of the more, high-profile guys? Only one or two guys are wearing those protective pads that we see in practice on their helmets. What do you do if you're Tua? Because that was unbelievable. I mean, to see it, and then unfortunately the reaction and the whole thing that happened right afterwards where you know he's been concussed again.
Yeah, I said when that happened originally, I thought he should retire, and people said it's too early, you're crazy. I think he still should retire. Mike, the Dolphins would still owe him $120 million, basically, $124, to say bye-bye. I just don't know, is it worth you doing this, not knowing what the future holds? And what I mean, guys, is when you break your leg and you go in and they take that x-ray and they say, hey, this is going to heal up and this is what it'll look like, and, you know, you'll be okay. Nobody can look at the brain right now and tell you what it's going to look like 25 years from now, no. Mike. So I think he should call it quits, but I know he's going to do everything he can to play. I'm just so fearful. Again, I was scared blankless seeing him on the field. And by the way, I don't know what channel or how it was for you. We were at the hotel. They cut away. Like, when that happened, we didn't actually see it because we were like, what's going on? And they were like, Tua's down. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
We didn't see him convulsing on the field until – I didn't see that until afterwards. Yeah,
they call it that fencing reaction with the arm. No, the thing we talked about on Thursday's – I should say on Friday's show is just you – if you're him, he's got to make better decisions. I know it's the heat of the game. He literally ran into that contact. That's what – the whole thing was so screwy because it was there were 5 different ways he could have gone right there. He chose the only way that was going to get his head in harm's way. Over the weekend, talk about the young quarterbacks. We saw Caleb Williams look like a rookie last night on Sunday Night Football. And the Texans, well, the Bears' defense is pretty good. They certainly made it tough and closer than expected. Jaden Daniels doesn't throw for a touchdown, but he does run for 44 yards, and he was 23 of 29, was effective, and the Commanders beat the Giants. Dan Quinn gets his first win as head coach of the Commanders.
Daniel Jones is another guy. That's another quarterback situation that is just there is no answer there right now.
He wasn't horrible yesterday, but his reputation precedes him.
Yeah, I just feel like, again, can he put you on his back and win games? Jaden Daniels has shown me a little bit something here, Mike, the first couple of weeks. I mean, again, it's a growing process. You saw that with Caleb Williams. Everybody talked about how great Caleb was going to be. He looked average. He was sacked 7 times last night. He looked average. Now, that O-line may be an issue for the Bears, but it's been an issue. We said that when Justin Fields was there and he wasn't winning, and now you said it. They're still playing conservative in Denver, and they're finding ways to get it done. Speaking of Fields, he hits a former Georgia product. I guess once a dog, always a dog, for a touchdown.
Big dude.
All those tight ends that they're collecting up there, they got a bunch of targets and tight ends for Justin. They win against Denver on the road. What do you think of Bo Nix, by the way?
You know, he's coming along. Sean Payton, I thought the screwy thing was Sean Payton deciding to not go for an onside kick, even though we know the onside kick odds are super long, and now you have to tell the other team you're doing it, which they kind of know where you're going with this. But then hoping that he'd get the ball back, and then there was a couple of Justin Fields scrambles, which 8 o'clock. So, yeah, Denver got the ball back with like 9 seconds, had no chance to do anything after the kick returner screwed around back there. So Sean Payton basically screwed up and then tried to make sense of it, and there was no way to make sense of it.
So you look at the Steelers, right, and just from a scheduling standpoint, right, they played us, and you go, all right, they beat us. We scored 10 points. The Broncos scored 6. The defense is humming, man. You don't have to be Superman, and I said this when he came in here, to help the Steelers win. We'll see what against that Chargers game, Mike. I'm really interested to see how that game plays out because the Chargers are running the ball on everybody right now. We'll see. That's next week. Meanwhile, we talked about the Chiefs game. It ended this way. It's the Bengals
and the Chiefs. Yeah, man, a butt kicker does his job. We talked about the pass interference. I just felt like, you know, again, we're used to seeing the Hail Mary where contact's allowed in the end zone. It just seems like, you know, if the flag was thrown a little bit sooner, is that what people are upset about? Because it was like a late flag.
It was
like
a late flag.
Like it was like it took him like a minute to get out of his pocket while the Chiefs sideline was going bananas.
Correct. It was almost a reaction to the crowd in the Chiefs sidelines. That's why a lot of people, including me, felt that way. Like, whoa, whoa, whoa. If that's immediate flag right now, contact, that's different. It was almost like, should I throw it? Should I not throw it? Oh, hell, I'm in Kansas City. Let me throw the flag.
But when you see the replay, he's clearly, you know, his contact, he's affected the receiver's ability to make a play on the football. Meanwhile, Isaiah Pacheco is going to miss several games, fractured fibula.
Oh.
So he's going to be out certainly for our game and maybe out at least 4 to 6 weeks for the Chiefs. The seventh rounder who's been a rock star for them since they drafted him. Now they got to find some other options.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man. The most impressive win of the day, Mike brought it up. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz. It's the Raiders. The Raiders beating the Ravens at home 26-23 with three fourth-quarter drives, scoring drives. Gardner Minshew.
Oof.
Okay? And I'm willing to tell you guys, if you would have said, well, he's going to play better than, you know, Lamar. Lamar, again, threw a pick, 247, threw the ball 34 times, Mike. It's not as if, you know, they threw it 50 times, but I just felt like, boy, the Ravens have looked discombobulated, and I didn't expect the Raiders to score as much as they did, but Gardner Minshew, man, he has been a pleasant surprise here for the Raiders. That's a big win for them.
Yep, we heard that Lamar Jackson said they got to find their mojo. You know, we thought Monken and him would be just a perfect fit. He did get the MVP last year, but still, it wasn't like they didn't run the football. Derrick Henry did have a touchdown, 84 yards, but it's just the Raiders just came in there, executed their game plan, and it was just more about, Devontae Adams, all the weapons coming to bear. Meanwhile, Kyler Murray, I got a little upset because I got Marvin Harrison Jr. week one. I didn't get anything from him.
Yeah.
We played that audio.
He was upset, too.
Yeah, Kyler Murray said, it's not my job. Talk to the OC. And then he said, no, I'll get him the ball. And he did. Here's something interesting. Only the second time in the history of the NFL, the perfect passer rating, it's a little bit confusing. It's 158.3. It's about percentage, yards per attempt, touchdown passes, interception. He's got the second perfect passing rating. The first one was Ken Anderson
with
the Bengals back in the early or mid-70s.
Going back.
So Kyler Murray with a perfect passer rating in the win over the Rams.
Yeah, Harrison, by the way, one quarter, not four. One quarter, four catches, 131, and two touchdowns.
Mm.
And you were like, uh-oh. He's the real deal, guys. And they got to find ways to get him the ball. Just like we got to find ways to get our guys the ball.
Pitts tonight. And Drake London and Mooney, we got to get it going, man. I mean, come on. You cannot tell me we're going to look like this on offense, and you're going to tell me Kirk Cousins is 100%. If we're going to roll what we rolled out against Philly and what we did against Pittsburgh.
Well, we not only need to score more. I mean, again, I don't think you're beating Philly with field goals tonight, okay? Mm-hmm. I just don't. That's not going to happen. We got to score in the red zone when the opportunity is there. And a lot of this is going to come down to, you know, Kirk and his accuracy, Mike, and being able to elude pressure. Guys, this is the Eagles. He's not going to be a clean pocket all night. We're going to learn a little bit more about Kirk Cousins tonight. It's not going to be a clean pocket. There are going to be people around his feet. There are going to be people around his neck, Mike. But he's got to be able to maneuver and deliver the ball like we've seen him do. And if he does that, I'll feel a lot better moving forward. If he doesn't, then we got more questions.
And certainly, guys, the injuries, we talked about Nate Landman, so he will be out.
The hammer!
He is going to be out. But as far as, you know, the Falcons, we talked a lot about Caleb McGarry. He's a full participant with the groin, as you like to say. I know some people, okay, me, I was happy to see Storm Norton maybe step in. But apparently he is okay and good to go. Antonio Hamilton, backup corner, is out tonight.
All right, guys, coming up, Connor Riley from Dog Nation is going to join us. We'll review what we saw in Lexington over the weekend, and then we got to look forward. I mean, the Dogs, they got to get whatever was wrong right before they head to Tuscaloosa. We'll talk to Connor Riley next. What to expect tonight? Mike and I are going to talk more about that coming up in 15 minutes. But right now, we got to talk to our buddy Connor Riley because the Dogs went up to Kentucky and didn't play well, but they got the dub. What did we learn, and what should we be worried about? Connor Riley joins us right now on the line. And, Connor, it's good to have you on from Dog Nation. My concern was that the D-line for Kentucky whipped the O-line's butt pretty much all night. And Kirby talked about it after the game, saying, you know, hey, they were physical. My thing is, Connor, did they not know they were going to be physical? We hear this every year. Oh, we go up there, and they're physical. And it's almost like guys didn't get the message. Why not?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised that Kentucky defense came out and played well. Deion Walker is going to be a first-round pick in next year's draft. But I do think it's one of those things of where I think we've got enough of a sample size now where, yes, even though Georgia has played, I think, two good defensive lines in Clemson and Kentucky, this offensive line might not be as good as we all thought it was going to be coming into the season. And that's even before the Tate Ratledge injury took place. So, you know, that does force you, I think, to adjust your calculations on this team a little bit. I think you saw Carson, he's had to move a little bit more than maybe you anticipated in the past. And so I think you saw some of the uncomfortableness that Carson had last night, and that certainly affected him early on, not really allowing him to get into a rhythm. And so we're going to see going forward, you know, how does Carson adjust to that, to playing maybe a little bit more sped up than he is used to have being able to play that way.
Was some of this because of the Tate Ratledge injury and the reshuffling with the offensive line? Is that part of it?
I don't think so, because they were struggling offensively even before Tate went down in the second quarter. And I think it was more an issue of their offensive tackle play than necessarily what we got out of their offensive guards. Ernest Green has just not been the player I think a lot of people thought he was going to be coming into this season. And Monroe Freeling, the five-star tackle that's a sophomore now, I just don't think he's quite there yet, or at least physically where he needs to be that big-time player that I think a lot of people envisioned him as. So I think more than anything, it's these offensive tackles where you can understand where Roger Jones is a first-round pick at offensive tackle, Marius Mims is a first-round pick at offensive tackle. Right now, they don't have someone who fits that mold on this team, and I think that's where perhaps it's showing up the most. They're not hitting a lot of the big runs to the outside, and when they are finding success rushing the ball, I think a lot of it's because Trevor Etienne on Saturday was just able to create something out of nothing, and that's not where Georgia has been in recent years, and it's great that you have someone in Etienne who's able to do that, but you don't want to be reliant on that.
Georgia wins 13-12. We're talking with Connor Riley from Dog Nation. It's Dukes and Bell. Monday Night Football coming up. Falcons at Philly tonight. All the coverage right here, starting at 4 with the Wade Ford tailgate show. Here's my other concern, watching in the stands. Where's the star power offensively? Who takes over games, Connor, for the Dogs when you get in these situations where you need plays?
And to your point, you know, there's nothing it seems that Georgia can do easier. They can take anything they want. You know, a year ago, I think you had that with Brock Bowers. You had that with Ladd McConkey. Maybe some of this is Georgia playing its cards close to its vest because they know they're playing Alabama at the end of September, and they don't want to fully unleash what, you know, maybe Dylan Bell can do or what Oscar Delp's going to be in this offense. But even early on in that game, and we've seen enough now, I think, between Kentucky and Clemson, when Georgia wants something easy, there's not necessarily something there. I think David Pollack made a great point on Twitter over the weekend. There's a lot of good players on this Georgia offense, but I don't necessarily know, especially among the skilled players, if there's a particularly great one. Maybe there is. Maybe Dylan Bell continues to develop and we see him used a little bit more against Alabama in the coming weeks. Maybe Dominic Lovett continues to build off of what I thought was a strong game from him. Mm-hmm. But to your point, Carl, there's nothing easy with this offense. There's nothing great with it right now. And while I believe some of that comes down to scheme and vanilla-ness that Kirby Smart elected to play with, because while, you know, Mike Bubba was not perfect on Saturday, we've seen Kirby do this with Kentucky when Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator, and now it's Mike Bubba as the offensive coordinator. Georgia, for whatever reason, I think plays very vanilla, very basic against Kentucky, knowing that it can win. But that does, I think, impact how people view this offense.
So, our man Connor Riley, as the Dogs escape with the win, also lose the number one position to the Texas Longhorns in the AP poll. We'll see what the College Football Playoff guys have to say about it. I thought Jalen Walker was great. I thought there was a ticky-tack. You know, I hate how they've overprotected the quarterback now. He can't stop in midair, but that was a hell of a play that he got penalized for.
Ticky-tack is a very kind way of putting that, Mike. I would call that one of the softest penalties I've seen in quite some time, but Jalen Walker was everything you needed him to be on Saturday. 8 pressures on 21 pass attempts or pass rushing attempts. That's the best mark of anyone that put on a college football jersey this weekend. I know he didn't finish with a sack, but late in that game when Kentucky was trying to make drives to get those last points that they needed, Jalen Walker was everywhere. I can't say enough about how well he has played this season, both as an off-ball linebacker and as an edge rusher there. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how Georgia chooses to use him against Alabama in a few weeks. He had 2 sacks last year against Jalen Milroe in a game where we've talked repeatedly about how they didn't pressure Milroe enough.
Right.
I think Georgia's going to get Mikel Williams back, and that's going to help a lot going into that game. But Jalen Walker versus Jalen Milroe is an absolutely fascinating offensive versus defensive chess match. And I think anyone that's a college football fan should be looking forward to how those two teams are going to match up those two players.
All right, here's something else that's concerning me is they get a week to get ready for Bama. Kentucky ran for 212. Bama's one of the best running teams in the country. How do you limit that? How do you slow them down with the run game if you are Georgia?
I think the big thing is you have to win early downs. And one, I think you saw, especially in the second half of that game, where a lot of those yards came from.
Yep.
Georgia was so thin on the defensive line. You know, Tyrion Ingram-Dawkins had a phenomenal game for Georgia. And that's considering the fact that he played 63 snaps, which is way too many for the way that Georgia wants to play on the defensive line. Nazir Stackhouse and Christian Miller also played over 50 snaps. Part of that is because Kentucky is able to sustain long drives. But they need Warren Brinson back. They need Jordan Hall back. They got Xavier McLeod back this past week, and I think that helped. You know, I think that they're going to get Hall and Brinson back for this Alabama game. And while they're not going to be, you know, the front of the line guys, they're going to be able to help with that rotation. If they're able to win on first and second down and put Alabama consistently in third and longs, I think that's going to help keep the snap count down. Mm. And that's how you prevent your defense from getting worn out over the course of the game, which is, I think, something we saw with that front seven. They made big plays when they needed to on Saturday to keep Kentucky out of the end zone, but Alabama's got enough talent to be able to do that in a way I don't necessarily know if Kentucky did.
Alabama, maybe it's just USF's front seven creates mismatches for them, and they look great against Wisconsin. Going to Camp Randall, they knocked Tyler Van Dyke out, and then Jalen Milroe, they start really explode in the second quarter, and it really looks like that's Frank DeBoer. So that's Kalen DeBoer, is Frank DeBoer, old soccer coach, Carl. That's Kalen DeBoer's model of offense, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, I don't take a whole lot from that Alabama game. Alabama deserves credit for being buttoned up and dominating that game. But when Tyler Van Dyke went down, that game was just going to be uncompetitive in the game. I didn't think all that highly of Wisconsin going in. But, you know, that was the first time all year Alabama had its fully healthy starting offensive line. Caden Proctor at left tackle, Elijah Pritchard at right tackle. Tyler Booker is one of the best guards in the country. And it's an Alabama offensive line that is as good as anyone out there right now. And they're able to protect Jalen Milroe. They're able to open up running lanes. I think so far we've seen Alabama answer some questions about the skill players around them. But I think Georgia's defense is by far and away going to be the best test that they have played. And so it's going to be a very interesting game. Georgia's defense has still not given up a touchdown this season. They have not given up a touchdown in the last four games. The last team to do that was 2016 Alabama. And so it's a Georgia defense that's been great so far this year, but at the same point in time, I do think that this is the most talented offense that they will have faced, and it starts with that offensive line, which is a big reason why I think they went up to Madison and just pushed Wisconsin around for four quarters.
Yeah, I totally agree. What's been the surprise for you so far, 3 weeks into the season? Is there a surprise for you, especially specifically in the SEC?
As far as Georgia or as far as conference-wise?
The conference, because we got a great game. I mean, South Carolina LSU was a great game. I mean, there's been some surprise. Are you surprised at what we're seeing with Florida and how bad they are? I mean, anything?
I'm surprised that Florida, in two big home spots against Miami and Texas A&M, games they couldn't afford to lose because of what we believe they have at the end of their schedule, come out completely flat and did nothing for the first three quarters of both of those games. They're down 33-7. To a Texas A&M team that was playing a quarterback that was making his first career start. There is no juice with that program right now. There is no energy with it. And this was a pivotal year for Billy Napier going into year three. You've had time to assemble multiple recruiting classes. You've had the transfer portal where you can bring guys in. And they're now going backwards again for the second straight season from where this program was. And look, I'm not one of those people that feels the need to defend Dan Mullen. I thought he very much quit on that program in 2021 and Florida had to move on from him. But with what you've seen from Billy Napier, you know, again, expectations were low for some for Florida coming in this year, but I think they found a way to even underperform that. And it's just becoming harder and harder to see Billy Napier not even making it through the season, but making it to Jacksonville for the cocktail party with the way that they're playing it right now.
Yeah, I think we're of the opinion he wasn't going to be there by Halloween weekend. The other thing is, I guess the Board of Trustees was supposed to meet Sunday morning. Still no word on Napier. You heard anything else?
No, you know, yeah, I was aware of that meeting. I found it a little weird that they were scheduling it, you know, so hastily. Again, I think when it gets closer to the bye weeks, maybe that's when they ultimately make a move on him. They have to win this weekend. Mississippi State, I don't know how many got a chance to see it. They lost to Toledo, and they got blown out by a MAC school. Ugh. This Mississippi State team might be one of the worst non-Vanderbilt SEC teams in some time. And if you can't beat them, you can't be an SEC coach anymore. So I think that this is a huge game for Billy Napier in a way that not a lot of people would have anticipated.
Real quick, Tennessee goes to Oklahoma. And young quarterback who looks like a rock star, but you think can Tennessee pull off a win against that defense?
Not only do I think that Tennessee can do it, I think Tennessee is going to make a statement on Saturday. Oh. And part of this is, one, there's some history there. Josh Heupel, former national championship winning coach, at Oklahoma, former offensive coordinator there. He has no qualms about running it up and putting a big number up on the board. And the way that they play, especially for teams that haven't played against them like Oklahoma hasn't, I think that hurts Oklahoma in this sense. Along with the fact that Oklahoma, just quite frankly, has not been all that impressive in recent weeks. Tried to give away this game against Tulane this last week, was in an all-out war against Houston the week before, and they're facing a more talented Tennessee team than anything they've seen on their schedule. It's Oklahoma's first SEC game, and I think they're going to be in for a really rude awakening from a Tennessee squad that knows that they've already made a quiet statement already this season with how they played. I think that they can firmly place themselves as one of the top teams in the sport with a dominant showing this weekend against Oklahoma.
Great stuff, Connor Riley, as always. Tell the people where they can find your stuff.
Yep, you guys can follow me on Twitter, @KConnorRiley. We've got a ton of stuff during this bye week. Georgia-Alabama, always a massive, massive game. Looking forward to it.
We are, too. Take care, Connor. We'll talk soon. It's Dukes and Bell. We're going to tell you what the keys to tonight's game are for us, guys. And then tomorrow, we're back, hopefully talking about a dub. We'll scoot out of the way at 4 o'clock for the Wade Ford tailgate show. That's coming up here. But before we get out of here, we got to tell you what we expect next. Is it a must-win tonight? Kind of feels that way with what's going on in our division. This is not a division game, but you will have common opponents. And you start to wonder, all right, we got to get going. Can't wait till next week, guys. Kansas City staring us in the face. And then, Mike, we got the Saints. So tonight, I think, and it feels like to me, and we got to not only show up, but we got to get this one, man.
Well, since 1990, when the NFL went to the wild card, only 32 of 279 teams, that comes out to 11.5%, that started the season 0-2 go on to make the playoffs.
Yep.
Yeah, I mentioned the Cowboys the year that Emmitt had the holdout. That was obviously a team that was loaded but still needed Emmitt. We need to I didn't know if we were ever going to go, 2-2, 1-3. I felt like we were going to lose some games in this first part of the season as Cousins got to be 100%. I just didn't know we were going to look like that on offense. That's what the shock to the system for you and me is. When we saw some of this at camp, but we didn't see enough to think this was going to be what the offense was. And then we find out that all the way back to the spring, they're talking about pistol and shotgun. And we're like, whoa. Why are we reinventing the wheel? I think we have a pretty good idea what we should be doing with Kirk Cousins to get the ball in the hands of our playmaker.
Yeah, tonight it's, again, some urgency, right? I'm talking about offensively. I felt like it was kind of lackluster in week one. And then, more importantly, let's get the playmakers involved, man. I mean, this is something I absolutely have to see tonight to start to believe that, hey, this offense is going to look like we expect it to look. And the stars have to show up. Again, I don't care who scores, but you have to show me, Mike, and I'm talking about this offense and Zach Robinson and Kirk Cousins, that the stars can make plays, man. And you got to put them in position to do that. So it's play calling, it's scheme, but it's also delivering the football. If we do those things, Hurts will give it to us. I do believe we'll get a couple of turnovers potentially in this game. But, man, you got to control Saquon Barkley.
And, I hate doing the nerd thing with the stats, but it's Pro Football Reference, PFR, not Pro Football Focus. Cousins threw down the field for the fourth fewest intended air yards, Carl.
Not good.
In week one. Also, the NFL Next Gen Stats. This is from the New York Post article, by the way. They do a nice handicap of all the different games of the week. Cousins, an average time to throw of 2.55 seconds, the sixth worst mark amongst quarterbacks. Now, some of that had to do with certainly T.J. Watt, and we went to the silent count. It seemed like the Steelers were in the huddle, right, in that second half.
Sure.
But, it's on the road against Philly with a defense we've talked about. I mean, maybe we don't over-respect him, but I just want to see everything we thought we were going to see. Establish the run, then you use play action, and everybody gets involved, and we score some points.
How many points do we score tonight? What does it take?
I think you got to score at least 24 to win.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah. I'm going to say the same. I think you got to get over 25, 26 points, to be honest with you. I think the Eagles, listen, it could be, and maybe we're underestimating our defense. Maybe it could be a defensive struggle, and it comes down, Mike, to, a couple of scores and a field goal. Are we talking about a 2017 kind of game? I don't feel that way. I think both of these teams will be able to score, but I do think if we have any chance, we're going to have to score with 25.
You want some scary numbers?
Give it to me.
As a visitor in the spot, he is 4-11 straight up, is Kirk Cousins. As far as road dog,
yeah.
5.5.
Against the spread there?
As a visiting underdog, he's 2-10. As a visiting underdog catching 5.5 or more points, he's 0-5 straight up in his career.
Mm.
Hopefully we're going to change that. It's down to 5, by the way, at this point.
It did come down. It was 5.5. I think a lot of people are saying, and this is what's crazy, you just saw this around the league, right? I mean, again, Dallas goes into Cleveland, and you go, woo!
They look like world beaters. Here we go.
And then the Saints put it on them yesterday. That's the craziness about the NFL, guys. So I'm with you on this. The Dolphins look really, you know, they look halfway decent week one. Obviously, Tua getting injured. But there's numerous examples of what plays out. Like the Packers winning without Jordan Love. I did not expect that to happen.
Malik Willis.
I didn't expect it, Mike. So these are the kind of things, and that's why the NFL is the best reality TV that there is. But we need a good showing. And again, as long as we're not getting blown out and humiliated, and we show up, Mike, even if we find a way at some point to maybe make this a game at the end, I'll feel a lot better. I just didn't feel good about the offense in that Steeler game, and I got to feel better moving forward.
Yeah, and I know that you'll be with me on Wednesday. We go up to Flowery Branch to talk to Coach Raheem Morris. It just seemed like it's like you're trying to convince the fan base of something that which they can see that didn't work. And the rest of the national media said it, too, about Kirk Cousins. Is Kirk Cousins the chicken and the egg argument? This is why you're running your offense this week, because he's still not 100%, mm-hmm. and you just don't want to cop to
what
it.
What did he say to that?
They said he's fine. You know, they said that Kirk can function and do all the things they need him to do in the offense. That was the argument. And then we get into, you know, why we asked, you know, things like, why didn't you run right at TJ Watt? You know, and things like how all of those things, which I think the fans were asking. We did ask the questions. I'm not sure if you got the answers to the fan satisfaction, but it just didn't pass the eye test. I know I come back to that phrase a lot. I want to see us look physical. I want to see Kirk Cousins look. And if Kirk Cousins isn't ready to go, then that's another conversation that we can have. But I want to see Kirk Cousins be the guy as advertised when we brought him in here for $100 million guaranteed.
All right, we're done early, guys. Wade Ford tailgate show's coming up.
Boy, I got more to say, man.
Tomorrow. What? Let's get out of here and clear our throat. Big O, by the way, doing all the things today. Turtle, he'll be back with us tomorrow. He's going to be in here running the game and getting all that stuff done. Guys, by the way, West Durham, Dave Archer,
West Drewham,
they'll have the game for you. Our coverage starts here in about 10 minutes, less than that. But the kickoff tonight is 8:15. We know Monday night, late, but we're going to be here tomorrow, and we hope we're talking about a dub. We have a lot more to dive into. Georgia with an off week. We'll talk some tech. We'll get deeper into the college football rankings and what's going on there. And, of course, what happened in this game. Are we 1-1 after tonight? Let's hope so. Mike Bell, we got to scoot. By the way, it's Joe Patrick, John Fricke. Stay right there. They've got you covered to get the coverage started about tonight and much more. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, we'll have a chance to talk more about the Braves guys during the week. They have a chance to maybe take 3 out of 4 from the Dodgers. And the news today is Ozzie Albies about ready to start that rehab assignment.
Thank goodness.
Was some talk last week. Maybe he would only hit against lefties or righties, you know, because of the wrist and everything else. But you're going to get, hopefully, Ozzie back with some time to maybe make some hay. Which is great, because as long as you know you keep doing what you're doing and the Mets struggle as they had with the Phillies, you're still alive for the wild card.
All right, man. Today we find out that Bryce Young has been benched.
Ugh.
Had a guy hit me up. He goes, is it Bryce's fault? Is it his fault? He's not seeing the field. It's that simple. Andy Dalton has been the guy that's going to replace him in Carolina. Is it permanent? I don't know. But obviously there's no confidence right now in Bryce Young, Mike. And the record speaks for itself. I put this out there on social media, and people were calling me out.
Oh.
Guys, he's 2-14 in his career.
Looks lost.
All right. We're back at you tomorrow. Go Falcons. Stay tuned. Wade Ford, tailgate show's coming up. If you love the show.
You tell your friends.
If you don't.
Your college team is starting DJ Ukulele again.
Oh, wow.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.